This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome, folks, into the Pixie Dust podcast. We are starting this live broadcast, which is also going to be an episode on the Pixie Dust podcast that you can get at radio.com or Apple Podcasts. Is that what it's called now? Because it's not iTunes anymore, right? It's Apple Podcasts, yeah. I think. You're like, sure, yeah. It is, whatever you say. I believe you. Wherever you get podcasts from, you can subscribe to the Pixie Dust podcast, and we'd be really grateful if you did that. And today is an exciting podcast episode for me and kind of sad. And I'll say it's sad because that means I'm talking about the vacation I was just on and am no longer currently taking. So I just got back from an 11-day trip to Walt Disney World. And when you say what kind of crazy person goes to Disney World during a pandemic, well, hello, very nice to meet you. My name is Annie Fry, and I don't regret my decisions. Erica Murphy is my co-host for the Pixie Dust podcast. She is a travel agent, and she works with Magic Expeditions, and she can help you with any questions that you might have. You can email her right here. The email is up. If you're watching us live on Facebook, you can go to the Annie Fry Show Facebook page or the Pixie Dust podcast Facebook page or the Annie Fry YouTube page, no excuse not to watch and see that her email address is Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at magicexpeditions.com. And you can ask her any questions that you want about booking your next vacation. So Erica, you were, as you said, your words, stalking my Facebook page for
from like, you hadn't even left St. Louis yet. And I was already like on your page. Like I need to see all the, I was living vicariously through you every step of the way.
So my real job here, this podcast is something that I do because it's enjoyable for me and it makes me happy. And it is a reprieve from the real world, which we're all feeling in a big kind of way right now. My real job is I'm a radio show host in St. Louis, Missouri. And when we talk about news, we talk about politics. That's neither here nor there. I don't necessarily put out there on public social media too much that I am out of town for that particular reason. So I don't post a whole lot of things, but I was sending pictures to Erica during the entire vacation. And I just got to say, from the photos and the videos that I was sending you, Erica, did you get a feel for what we're experiencing there?
I was getting misty-eyed, like looking at the photos through you. And, you know, just seeing Main Street empty with just, you know, your little daughter running down the street. Like it was just, I can't even explain the magic that I was feeling through the tiny little screen on my phone. I can only imagine how it felt to be on Main Street, hear the sound, smell the smell, see the lights of the stores, and have it be just your family. Like I just can't even, I can't even imagine what that moment, a moment that you will never, ever forget.
Yeah. And it's definitely one that I don't necessarily know that I'm ever going to have the opportunity to have again. And I'm okay with that. If you're watching, I'm going to put some pictures up here of this is my daughter and I guess my husband and my two other kids walking down Main Street. And what we had was a 6:45 p.m. Liberty Tree Tavern dinner reservation. Well, the parks close at 7. We got to Liberty Tree after watching the Hall of Presidents, which I had never seen before. And I just loved
never seen it.
Watching that. And we went over 6:45 to see the or to get our table, and they're like, "We're really sorry, we're running behind. Can you come back in 15 minutes or so?" And we're like, "Sure." Well, can we go ride a ride while we wait? And they're like, "Sure." So we ran over to the Haunted Mansion, did that again, and came back. And I think we ended up getting seated at about 8:10. So we were about, it was somewhere between 15 and 30 minutes that we actually were, you know, air quotes, late for our reservation because they were backed up, and which was totally fine with us. But that meant that we were getting out of our reservation well past an hour after the parks had closed. And when you have a limited capacity to begin with, it was really something amazing to go be on Main Street. And it was legitimately just ourselves. And it was totally unbelievable. So the first question that one might have regarding the trip is, what were the crowds like? And I have to tell you, minimal. And appropriately so, like enough people there that you weren't like, am I making the wrong decision? Am I the only person here? And no, there were lots of other people who were there who were like us, but the socially distance way they set everything up was perfect. And my 4-year-old wore a mask the entire time. She had no problem wearing a mask. She had no problem complying with that, you know, during there's a picture of her walking down Main Street, my family in tow behind her. But, you know, she wore the mask because we told her, you want to go to Disney, you wear this mask. That's the way it is. And she said, okay, I know every kid's going to have a different circumstance, but she was willing to do it. And we told her she didn't have a choice. The, limited capacity made it easy for us to socially distance. We were never in a shoulder to shoulder crowd with anybody, which is unheard of at Disney World. Yeah. And then at each line, if you were to stand in a line, they have these markers on the ground and it says, you know, please wait here. I don't remember what it says. It's please wait here, but they're 6 feet apart. And you stand there, and when the party in front of you vacates theirs, you move up. And there's this like unspoken agreement on everybody who is there, who is like, this is what we have to do to enjoy Disney. So let's just do this and enjoy Disney. I have to say, like, on the thing that I think the majority of individuals who are thinking about going to Disney World and they're kind of weighing pandemic, like, you got to go through this rigmarole to go to your grocery store. What's it going to be like at Disney? Yeah. I felt so incredibly comfortable there. I had no concerns, no issues. I felt safer there than I felt in some other places.
Yeah. And I will say, I think, and I've said this before, that Disney is truly a family. And when you're part of that family, it's just, it's a different type of crowd. Like, you know, I went to the grocery store and I had somebody literally reaching over my shoulder and I was like, whoa, ma'am, hello? I'm going to need you to get back. Like my bubble, even pre-pandemic, like, please don't reach over my shoulder. But I think that in Disney that there's just everybody's so grateful just to be home again. And like you said, that are willing to comply to these new protocols and do whatever it takes because you're home and you're with your family. You're with your Ohana, Tony Colombo.
Yeah.
But I really truly feel that Disney people are a totally different breed of people, which I'm very grateful for.
You know, I think a lot of questions that you might be getting, and you'll have to tell me a little bit about what people are saying when they're choosing to cancel or when they're, you know, going back and forth about whether or not to cancel, is how do we wear masks in Florida heat? I think the biggest question many people are going to have is this possible? And I have to tell you that it was something that was, it took a little getting used to, but at the same time, we were surprised with how much we were used to it. And then I'll tell you this, when I got ready for my radio show today, I put makeup on because I do a live there. And no, I didn't put my mask on. No, I didn't do that. But every day I'd get up and I don't know what kind of makeup. I think everybody probably has a different, just like in normal life, you have a different amount of makeup that you might wear. But I will always wear, you know, foundation and probably some mascara and maybe like a lip balm that's tinted or something just to put some kind of smooth face on. You don't do that when you wear a mask. Because You get it all over your mask. The first day when we were leaving, this is so stupid of me. When we were leaving to go to the airport, I got all dressed up. And I'm like, I'm going to Disney World. I'm going to wear my red lipstick. And I put my red lipstick on and I got in the car and I put a picture up on the Instagram post. And we got to the airport. My mom goes, I was wondering what you were going to do with all that red lipstick under your mask. I'm like, it has got to be all over my face right now. So if I take this mask off and I look like the Joker, I had no idea. I was learning these lessons. So I'm sharing these lessons that I am learning with you so that you, in fact, do not make the same mistakes. But I'll tell you, the only time that the mask, you know, again, air quotes, was a problem was when we were changing temperatures. So if you go to a show inside and it's cool, you have this like mental sense of, oh, I should relax. I feel like I want to sit down and relax and take my, nope, you can't take your mask off. You have to leave it on. If you cheat, the Disney cast member will come tell you to stop cheating and they will do it in a very pleasant, magical Disney way. But that's how everybody complies. And when you come outside after you've had your mask off, when you come outside and that humid Florida heat hits you again, you're like, and you want to take the mask off, but you're outside for 30, 60 seconds and you're like, okay, I'm used to this again. So the mask thing was not nearly as bad as I thought it was going
to
be.
Did you go to any of the relaxation stations that they had set up?
Didn't really find
any. Didn't need to.
No, yeah, I mean, they're accessible. The ability to sit down, take your mask off, you know, if you just want to relax a little bit, because if you weren't wearing a mask, it would be hot anyway. And you would probably want the idea of relaxing to begin with. But when you, I think the biggest impact that the current state of affairs in Disney, the biggest change is the fact that the parks are open for a shortened amount of time. So when you are able to go to Magic Kingdom from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., you're not factoring in that nighttime show, which is a bummer. I did think that took away a little bit from the magic, but there was so much more that replaced that hole. The trip that you're going to take right now, if you're interested in taking a Disney World trip, if you're interested in finding out more information about how you can go and how you can venture into Disney World like we just did, where you are missing things, you are going to have access to a kind of vacation that I don't know how long that's going to exist. And if I, for one, can't wait to go back. And I looked at my husband because my husband is the rational one and I'm the irrational one. And we have this unspoken handshake agreement that I can say completely irrational things. And he'll go, yes, Annie, but, and then he'll bring me back down to earth. And I just said to him, I was like, so just like hypothetically speaking, if money weren't an object and you had no restrictions, it was just up to you, how soon would you want to go back to Disney? And he's like, next weekend. I was like, yes. And then I was like, hold on a second. You can't be talking like that because you're the one who's supposed to say, Annie, we need to wait a while before we go back. So what kind of things are people when you're talking to your clients? Because I know that you've had some people who have listened to the podcast here who have reached out to you and have said, asked you questions. Like, what kind of things are people asking you, concerned about, wondering about that maybe since I just was there for 11 days, I can help you with?
Yeah, I think the first thing that's on everybody's mind right now is just the safety aspect. Is it safe to go to Disney? And, you know, I think that that is a question, and this is what I tell everybody. I can give you the facts of the protocols that are in place and the things that Disney is doing to make sure that people are safe. I can give you my personal opinion, but at the end of the day, you know what's best for your family. And if you for one second are going to be anxious while you're at Disney because you're worried about whatever reason that may be, then I would say maybe postpone it because it is a lot of money. And if you're not going to have a good time, I would not say to spend that money. However, if there is any place in the world I would want to be during a pandemic, it's Disney. And it's because I would feel safer on Disney property than I do my grocery store or going to Target or any of the other department stores, because Disney has their first key, and I know we spoke to this before, is safety. So they're not going to do something that they don't feel is safe. And so, you know I've seen from stalking photos some of the protocols that they've put in place, like the, the dividers in between the queue so that you don't have, yeah, exactly. The
Here's a picture of the monorail when you're on there. It used to be that they would stuff you, I mean, they'd stuff those full pretty much, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So we had our own little space on the monorail, and they've added above the seat that kind of divides a front and a back seat on the monorail car. They've put these gray dividers that separate. You can see through, but you're not coming into contact with a party that isn't your own. And, mm-hmm. Those types of measures have been taken mm-hmm. everywhere. So if you're wondering how, to what extent, of course, to what extent is Disney taking this seriously? In our opinion, they thought of everything. It was really impressive.
And did you notice the cleaning, Chris Clint sanitations? Yeah.
Yes. They were very, I mean, everywhere you look, I took a lot of video. I'm going to be putting some videos up on the Annie Fry YouTube page. If you haven't subscribed yet, please consider going to watch. You can check out the Annie Fry YouTube page. I've got some work stuff, my radio show stuff there, but I also balance it with Disney. It makes me look like a schizophrenic person. The funny part about it is that I know that there are some people who would listen to my Disney podcast and they wouldn't like the radio stuff that I do, but then I'm on the radio and I'm like, you know how awesome Disney is? And some of them are like, you need to stop talking about Disney. And I'm like, I just am going to mention all things that make me happy and talk about things and be open and honest about how I feel about stuff. And we'll get along, because that's really what it's all about anyway. But the cleaning measures that they were engaging in, everywhere you look, there were people who were wiping down rails, who were spraying, cleaner on rails or on windows that might, like, they have plexiglass dividers, like you were saying, in the queues. Mm-hmm. So if you were walking past, you make the turn around the turn back. I don't know what it's called, but you come back in the queue and then you would pass the people from the place with which you just came. They've extended those dividers to be, they're probably about 7 feet tall totally. So, and they're clear plexiglass, so you can see through it. So you don't feel like you're in a dungeon, so to speak. But you're separated, so you're not breathing on people. They close the ride. We kind of turned took the lemons and made it into lemonade when you'd get to the front of the line and they're like, we are closing the ride momentarily for cleaning. Mm-hmm. And we're like, good, we get the cleanest ride. If they close it right before you do, then you get to be in a freshly cleaned boat or car or whatever it is. And it was so frequent. And I cannot express with actual real words how much hand sanitizer is present around the parks. You cannot escape the hand sanitizer. And my youngest daughter is kept going, hand sanny, gotta get your hand sanny. And so
I love
we were
her so much.
Yeah, I know. she broke a mold there. Amy comments on our Facebook page, were all areas of the parks open? No, everything in the parks isn't open. Currently, there are a lot of shows that are down, and I know that this is very frustrating for a lot of people who, you want to see for the Frozen sing-along or Indiana Jones Spectacular or, some of the various shows that exist around the parks. But currently, there is a union negotiation going on between Disney World and the actors, and they're trying to figure out and settle on some COVID protocols that are agreeable. And they haven't done that yet. So there are some shows that are not operating. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to think from a ride standpoint. The People Mover wasn't working, but I don't think it was working right before they shut down.
It's because it's like 100 years old.
Yes. I went on the Carousel of Progress. That was working. In Magic Kingdom.
Were you there when Splash Mountain went down?
Yes. I wasn't at Magic Kingdom, but we were in Disney. Yeah, when that boat sank, that was not good. I'm trying to think of
Farewell.
yeah, I think they did that. No, I'm not gonna say that. I was gonna say they did it on purpose to close the ride, but that's definitely not the case. Let's see, Animal Kingdom. Other than the shows, everything. Well, Dino Land.
Yeah,
was Primeval World is no longer up and running. The Triceratops Spin, which was something my daughter really wanted to do, was down, but that was because of lightning. So, like, if you're this is the thing
I want to tell people.
Yeah, if you were going to Disney World who ride rides and you love riding rides and you want, I mean, literally, folks, listen to me now. I stood in line for 2.5 hours the first time in 2018 in the summer to ride Flight of Passage. And I rider switched with my husband. And what rider switch means is I stood in line like a good citizen and I did the time and I got to ride the ride. But then after that, while my husband, because my kids weren't A, big enough, or B, didn't want to ride it, while they went and did other things in the park, when I got off the ride, I basically say, tag, you're in. And then my husband got to go to the front of the line because they don't make you wait in line twice. So my husband got to rider switch, which meant he stood there for maybe even 10 minutes to ride Flight of Passage. Mm-hmm. I was in there for over 2.5 hours and it was amazing. It was worth, at the end, I had to ask myself, was this worth it? And oh my gosh, yes, it was worth it. Mm-hmm. This year, when I got off of Flight of Passage, they said, would you like to ride again? And I was like, what?
Sure.
I'm like, yes, I would, but we have other things to do. And it was like one of those opportunities to like, this does not happen.
And, how long did you wait this time around?
We walked right up to the front of the line. I mean, I think the posted wait time was 15 minutes. And the 15 minutes was the time it took us to walk through the queue to get up to the point where you were actually waiting for the next door to open. And you know, Flight of Passage, I think that they have multiple theaters. I think it's it moves about 180 people every 6 minutes or so, something like that. So it's moving a lot of people fast. Do you want to ride again? I was like, shut your mouth. Like I couldn't believe that was actually the case. The Safari walk on. Mm-hmm. And they're not, when we did Flight of Passage, we had five in our party at the time. And they would put a banshee or two in between yourself and the next party. So you don't get on there and sit next to people. If you're in a roller coaster, they put your party together and then a certain amount of a row or a certain amount of rows in between you and the next party. You wear your masks on the roller coaster, which is really weird, but you just get used to it. And it's just a crazy, crazy, crazy experience. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put a picture up here real quick while we're talking about this, because this is just insane here. This is us on Batu, and this is us with all of the people around us and the Millennium Falcon. That's my little family there. It's unbelievable. Erica, did you have a question?
No, I was just, I think that is one of the other things that people ask about is it still magical? Because, you know, the shows that are down, the parades and fireworks that they kind of put on pause for a moment. I think a lot of people are like, if I'm going to spend all this money, I want to see Disney and I want to see all of it. And if it's closing early and opening late, but you know, as it sounds like you can get a week's worth of vacation in 2 days because, I mean, you're not spending time standing in line. Mm-hmm. So I think so what would you say that it's as magical, if not more, than previous trips, even though
I'm going to use the word intimate. It was a very intimate look at Disney World, which in my experience is, it's not, I mean, you become intimate in a way at Disney World, which like, you know, 100,000
different way.
Yeah, new friends. we've got another guest coming in here. Tony Colombo joining us. Now, Tony, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. This is very
all
exciting.
All right.
Tony, what do you, at this moment in time, it's we're recording this on Wednesday, August 5th. It's 7:52 p.m. When is the next time at this very moment that you are traveling to one Disney World?
Well,
did you make a decision since the last time I talked to you?
No, at this moment, the next scheduled trip is on August 31st in just about 4 weeks. So that's the answer right now.
What are you thinking? What right now, what is going through your mind?
So
what are you thinking, or what is your wife thinking?
Right. Yeah. Erica knows the saga very well. Annie, you said a bit ago that, you're the irrational one, and Jared is your husband.
Only for Disney, but yeah.
Right. You and I play the same role in our house. So I'm the one that's like Disney diehard. And my wife is also, I mean, it's her favorite place in the world, but she's also but she doesn't want her favorite place in the world to be tainted by anything. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't, we hold Disney on such a pedestal, and it's our one place that we can take our three kids that are all 7 years apart. The oldest is 17. The youngest is 3. And it's like the one place that we can take everybody that everybody gets along. Everybody has a good time. And she doesn't want to go to Disney and not have that magical experience. So, you know, she's on board right now, but nobody's made a final decision yet.
So what are,
but I think we're, I mean, I'm leaning, I tell people I'm 60-40 go, she's 60-40 not go. We kind of, so you add that up and you get 50-50. So that's where we're at.
I don't know if you got to see this photo here, and we're putting some photos up on our Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page. So if you're listening to the recording of this, you can go to Facebook and find Pixie Dust Podcast. You'll see us there, and you can check out this video. You can watch it as well. But what about this? Does this appeal to you at all? That's my family. Every human that you see in that picture is my family.
That is so stupid.
It's Main Street looking at the front train station, and it is just my family at night. It's all lit up. There's a nice, clean and clearing rain that had landed on the asphalt, and we are in charge.
It doesn't look like that after the park closes in non-COVID time. Uh-uh. Like, there's always people there, maintenance people, staff, you know, there's... Mm-hmm. That never looks like that. That's absolutely incredible. And I think that since it's opened back up, and since we got to sort of monitor your vacation, Annie, and watch other videos, you know, and read news stories and watch other videos of what it's like there right now, I think a lot of those, a lot of the positives that are a part of this, it's funny to use the word positive when we're talking about a pandemic that has so many things shut down, but there are some, this creates a very unique set of circumstances that, you know, you're going to be able to be at Disney World with, you know, 70 or 80% less crowds than there ever would normally be. And so, you know, you have to weigh the factors. Obviously, you know, the virus is something to take into account. The lack of, I heard you guys talking about, you know, some of the shows are closed and the hours are shorter in the parks. So you got to weigh all those in, you know, no fireworks, the parades aren't the same.
Let me talk about the parade.
Weigh all that against the other. Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, yeah.
Because they have cavalcades now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you were
unannounced, right? Like they just happen.
Yes. And you're just like walking down Main Street, or you're walking through Liberty Square in Magic Kingdom, or you're just walking around the World Showcase.
By the way, how have you never been to the Hall of Presidents until now?
That's what I was saying.
We went one time the year before and it broke down. So I tried once, but it broke down.
It's pretty cool.
It was amazing. I mean, it was moving and amazing. Well, yeah.
The little lobby with the stuff, like they have some really impressive, like, pieces of American history in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally. So you'll be walking through, you know, Animal Kingdom is the one that's the least tangible because they have them on boats that go through the river that they have going through Animal Kingdom. But in Hollywood Studios, they go down. Is Sunset Boulevard the one that goes straight to the Chinese theater? I don't even know. Or in Magic Kingdom down Main Street and come out Liberty Square, the same path that you would have as a regular parade. And in Epcot, they go through World Showcase. And all of a sudden, there's Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and Pluto and Goofy and the Mouse Could Dance It party or whatever it's called. Or I don't know. It's parades. I'm not a parade person. The parades not being there is not really a big deal to me. Or a princess cavalcade where you see all of the princesses at once. And there aren't a ton of people there. So like any time that happened, when we lined up, like right on the edge of where you were allowed to stand, and my daughters were, you know, watching this as it took place, there was nobody within 10 feet at least on either side of them. And they were yelling at the princesses, like excited that the princesses were coming, and the princesses were talking back to them. It was just like when it was happening, it comes out of nowhere. The music that is coming out of some plant somewhere, some speaker hidden in some plant. I mean, if you're watching the video right now, you can see they go right past it. And the girls got to wave at the princesses, and they, you know, say something about a cute bow or whatever. And it was still kind of personal. And it was, as a mom, it was a lot faster to like check the princesses all off the box and in one fell swoop there and see Mickey and Minnie. And then in Hollywood Studios, you see The Incredibles, and you see Monsters, Inc. characters, you see Toy Story folks in Batuu, in Hollywood Studios, in Galaxy's Edge. You see Stormtroopers, you see, we saw Rey, we saw Kylo Ren, we saw some other Star Wars character that I don't really know because it's from the new ones. Who's the blue hair female in the later ones? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
I
know what you're talking about.
I've been in the presence of those movies, but Star Wars is not my thing.
Well, and as much as the parades are like a part of it, and I'm a parade expert, like ask Erica. I am a parade expert. Getting the right spot, getting the right view,
all the ends. Yeah.
Getting the character interaction, and so we love it. But a parade. If you want to experience, if you want to do it, if you want to sit there and watch it and take it all in, finding a spot, waiting for the parade, watching the parade, it takes up a big old chunk of time. And if you can watch one of these cavalcades, you can watch one of these little mini parades go by, have that experience of watching a parade and interacting with the characters and seeing the characters at Disney. And it's over in a matter of minutes and you're back on to your day of not standing in line. I mean, that's a pretty cool. That's not a terrible exchange.
Go ahead, Erica.
No, the personal aspect that you said, like, can you imagine being on Main Street and seeing a giant, beautiful Clydesdale go down with Merida on it? Like, that's not something that you would see in any parade, you know, having these big, beautiful creatures and being a child and looking up to this majestic princess that you don't normally see.
Yeah.
And you don't have people hovering over your back. I'm the same way. I love parades. I think everybody knows I'm a Disney person. Like, there's nothing that I don't like. But we don't watch the parades because I get such anxiety pre-pandemic when people crowding around me and, you know, the shoving and the breathing over my neck. I don't like it personally. So having these little moments, I hope they don't go away.
I think
it's great.
I really do think it's pretty amazing. I'm showing a picture here of Chewie. Chewbacca is in Batuu and he stands there and, you know, he's Chewie. So he just grunts or whatever you call what Chewie does, but you can talk to him and he'll, you know, they're good at what they do and they interact with you personally and then they go away and then pretty soon Rey comes out and is talking to you. So it's pretty amazing. This is kind of funny. Chris comments is on Facebook. I've been telling my daughter that Disney is still closed, but she heard you say you just got back from Disney on the air today. I had to update my lies that only TV and radio celebrities can go. That's a lie.
Hilarious. That's hilarious.
If that does not flow for you, you can email Erica at magicexpeditions.com with your questions about your trip. So how long is your trip this time, Tony, the August one?
Erica, how long is our trip this time? Is it 3 days or 4 days?
It's 4 days, but you're doing 2 days in the park.
4 days.
There you go.
2 days in the park. Mm-hmm. I think I think it's the perfect time to go.
Yeah.
If it's not your first time, or if you have wanted to go for a long time, but you think I would like to go again in a year or two, because I'm not 100% sure that in a year you're going to have the old experience. I don't think the old experience is ever going to happen again the way it was. I think that this is an opportunity to improve.
It's a unique experience.
Yes.
Like, I get it, people. The people that are way against, like, traveling right now or just, like, I'm not going to do anything like this. I get for that type of person, it's not worth it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's completely understandable. But if you're not in that group and you're thinking about a vacation this summer or in the next 6 months or whatever, this is a once in a lifetime experience.
Yeah.
you know, yeah. and the positives may outweigh the negatives. That's a personal decision to make, but the positives may outweigh the negatives. What was the longest line you waited in, Annie?
Oh my gosh. 30 minutes, maybe, for the mine train. I mean, we did, let's see. So
how many times were there no line?
80% of the time.
That's incredible.
80% of the time. And like I said, if you wait, mm-hmm. like when the time is posted for Flight of Passage, and you haven't done Flight of Passage, have you? No. Shame on you. Stop it. You're such
everybody a else. Everybody else has.
Yeah. And you will. You should.
It's my understanding it's the best ride at Disney World. And I believe that.
Yeah.
Until it's just not for me.
When we go on a Pixie Dust podcast sponsored Disney World trip, the three of us, and we take our spouses, most of the videos that come out of that are going to be me forcing Tony Colombo onto Thrill Ride. And it might be the most exciting.
If I have to do it for the show, I guess I will.
Yeah.
And all for the name of entertainment.
But that's the only time you'll ever get me on any of it. Space Mountain, a roller coaster in the dark. No, thank you. No.
Stop.
Even I do Space Mountain, and I'm as big as a baby as you are.
No, not in the dark. Not when I can't see what's about to happen.
What's not about to happen is you're not going to die. There are going to be thousands of people who get on that roller coaster after you and are going to be just fine.
Yeah.
You, Tony Colombo, will also be just fine.
You know,
not if I wet my pants, I'm not going to be just fine.
You can buy new pants.
They've upped their cleaning.
Yeah, no kidding. This is the most sanitary time to pee your pants in Disney World.
All right, that's a good point. It's a good point.
I can't imagine how you mentioned, you know, having a dinner reservation and being like, oh, can we just pop over to the Haunted Mansion for a minute? And they're like that's not something that happens. I mean, even something like Haunted Mansion.
So we went and walked on Haunted Mansion at 6:45 and then came back in time for dinner reservations.
Wow. So not having your whole day schedule. Like, I loved having fast passes to where you can just walk on to rides. I was talking to a client earlier today, and you know, he was like, do you really have 2 to 3 hour waits? And I'm like, yeah, before. I mean, it was very plausible. I don't wait more than 20 minutes for anything. So I always use fast passes. But to be able to just be like, you know what? I think I'm going to go on Peter Pan right now. And then let's go to lunch and let's just kind of fly by the seat of our pants. That's not a normal Disney vacation. You have to plan it 6 months in advance, where you're going to eat, when you're going to eat, what fast passes you're going to do. So having that experience to where I think I want to pop in the shop for a second, or I think I want to stop for a Mickey ice cream. You know, you're not watching all over the place.
They've also, and I would encourage people who are listening right now, if you like Disney merchandise, they have a huge they have an excess of inventory right now, and they are trying to push it out. They are doing 30% discounts for AP and for DVC members. And I just saw that they put in I think that 30% potentially is on shopdisney.com right now. So if you were looking for something, now is the time to get in there. Buy one, get one free 2020 merchandise, because there's not, like, they ordered enough and they've been for like half of it. So I bought ears that were 2020 ears that I normally wouldn't have bought for my kids, but the girls both got ears. We bought our 2020 ornament and our 2020 photo album and stuff. But you know, you start putting 30% off some of the stuff, and now the prices actually look reasonable for merchandise. And you're like, well, it's 30% off. I kind of have to buy it. It's a really bad.
And what was the resort like, and the resort pool, and what normally would be open? As far as I know, some restaurants were open, but maybe not all of them. Like, what was the differences? Like, what was open and what was not open?
So
resort wise,
we stayed at three different resorts while we were there. Two nights at Old Key West in a 2-bedroom villa with my parents. That was really cool.
I know you really like that one. That's cool.
Yeah. And I'll say, if you're looking for a great value for space, Old Key West is wonderful for that. Mm-hmm. But we didn't really realize, I should have, I don't have an excuse for not knowing this, but when we got there, we realized that I don't know if they're called friendship boats, but the boats that go from Old Key West to Disney Springs, not operating, which meant we had to take a bus. And I am probably in the minority that I don't really mind bus transportation. I kind of like the buffer that the bus, like once you get on the bus at the end of the night and it's dark and it's air conditioned and the kids inevitably fall asleep on it. And it's just kind of a peaceful transition from the major sensationalism of the park or the Disney Springs or whatever, or the restaurant you're at to the resort. I don't mind bus transportation, but the boat is also really relaxing. It was not running at Old Key West or Saratoga Springs. And then we went and ate at Olivia's. We ate breakfast at Olivia's at Old Key West. Delicious breakfast. Let's see, I think everything else at Old Key West was actually running. So the boats.
Pools? What about pools?
Pools were open at Old Key West. And then we went to Beach Club, which we booked Beach Club because of Storm Long Bay. And they had announced that that was going to be closed 2 months ago or a month. Well, in the middle of June, I think, is when they announced that. That was a huge bummer. And I thought about moving the reservation to something else. They made the boardwalk pool open for Beach Club guests with the Luna pool, which if you haven't, you're not a clown person, are you? Are you an anti-clown person? Do you want to hang out with them?
Which one of us are you asking?
Tony.
I'm not an anti-clown person, but I'm not a big clown person either.
Okay, I'm going to find this picture of the Luna pool at Boardwalk. I mean, it is a thing that nightmares made of. I'm not afraid of clowns. I think I saw Stephen King's It when I was six. That is a big mistake. Wonderful made-for-TV movie. This clown is terrifying looking. Even if you're like, I don't have a problem with clowns. You're like, I have a problem with that clown. But
we've stayed at a pool view window at a pool view room before. And imagine waking up to that one.
Yeah, I'll find a picture of it here because it is something to behold. But that,
and so I just wanted to say real quick too, Disney has done a really good job of piping out information, and there is a know before you go section on Disney.com. And if you click on the resorts, you can see a list of everything that's open at the resort that you're staying at. So the different pool bars or the different pools that are open, it's all up to date on that know before you go section.
Yeah. So you can definitely check that out. And if you reach out to Erica and she is booking your trip, she will be able to tell you for sure everything you need to know. I cannot wait to show you this picture.
So while you're looking for that, I want to ask Erica, obviously Disney is usually booked, you know, almost full every single day of the year. So all these people that had to reschedule or are have vacations now, but the resorts aren't all the way open, so they're getting moved around, shuffled around. When dealing with all of the people that already had vacations booked, is it even possible for somebody to book a vacation that, like, just listen to this and go, I want to go in a couple of months? Is that even, are they even availabilities for that?
Or there's a lot. And
I think that's incredible.
They came out with an article today. I just kind of glanced through it about, you know, the cancellations and how they've kind of seen the ebb and flows with what's going on in Florida. But I just booked a trip for November, you know, last month. And there's still, I mean, you know me, I check it all the time. There's still a ton of availability. And with the, I had some people that were staying at a resort that they extended the closure. So trying to get them moved around, there's still a lot of inventory out there and a lot of good inventory. So if you're thinking about going, I mean, and you want to see this once in a lifetime, I mean, there's still plenty of time to go. And they did temporarily suspend the dining plan. So the packages look
Let's talk about the dining plan.
We weren't even going to use we didn't even have the dining plan for this one and this trip anyway. So
have you taken a trip without the dining plan?
Not yet, but I will in a couple weeks.
You start looking at prices and you go, what? Like when you're on the dining plan and you're eating.
You're like filet for everyone.
A surf and turf, which I don't eat because I don't eat seafood, but my husband does. And I always encourage him when we're on vacation, like eat all the seafood you want because we don't really go out to get, you know, what's Midwestern seafood compared to a signature dining at in Florida, you know, eat what you want. And if you want a thing that looks like it's going to crawl off your plate, then eat it. And I'll just avert my eyes. But he's going through and he's looking at things. You do eat differently. We went down when we had scheduled our trip this time, because my parents came with us and had a wonderful experience, as far as I know. We decided this time we were going to only do two meals a day, which I don't know if you're a big eater, maybe that wouldn't work for you, but we were going to schedule brunches. So we were going to try to get the latest breakfast reservation each day that we were going to take that reservation, get the latest one. So you eat maybe a really late Chef Mickey's or a really late Garden Grill breakfast, which I was so sad when they said that they were only doing lunch and dinner. Or, you know, wherever we had it, we ended up picking up a 10:40 Topolino's, which I was super excited for, which is the character dining experience that is still happening at Riviera up on the top of, mm-hmm. of Riviera Resort. Yes. Yeah. I'm not as obsessed with the outfits that the characters are wearing. Erica's like in tears over them. I'm like, yeah, okay. The food was delicious.
She's sending me the pictures and I'm like, oh, it's Poet Minnie.
Get it together, Erica. Snap out of it. Yeah. But yeah, I won't. We decided to do it.
I love that stuff too.
Do you get weepy at Poet Minnie too? Also,
I like seeing all the different versions of, I like seeing every little thing. Like every mm-hmm. version of everything, and like, oh, we've never seen, you know, so and so in that
Poet Minnie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So mm-hmm. that, yeah, I get it actually.
So, okay, that's fine. You've bonded over that. But anyway, we were going to do brunches and then late dinners. And the late dinners we were going to schedule for at the end, if we're eating in the park, the last reservation we could get in the park so we could maximize the time that we would have in the park. Or we would go to a resort and get a dining reservation at, we went to Whispering Canyon for the first time in Wilderness Lodge. Amazing food, amazing experience, highly recommend. When you're in the dining credit, it's almost like a challenge. When you're in the dining plan, it's like, you have this many credits, you have to eat this many snacks, you have to go to this many things, you have to, they were right to cancel the dining plan, because when I look at the prices to have a character meal at Crystal Palace and meet the Winnie the Pooh characters in Magic Kingdom, you're eating a buffet, but you're meeting the Winnie the Pooh characters. It's mm-hmm. very hard to justify the value of that. Crystal Palace isn't even open right now, as far as I know. It's just, if they were to still have the dining plan in place, it would kind of water down the system. A lot of people would be making reservations and you end up eating a lot more food than you probably would actually eat. I think we saved a lot of money by not doing the dining plan. And when the dining plan comes back up, my husband and I looked at it and we think we would do the cheap, this is the current thought, that we would do the cheapest dining plan we could to use those credits for Spirit of Aloha, which is a 2-credit per person, and Hoop-De-Doo, because we love both of those shows, and maybe like a character dining experience, but just to make sure that we, and then the rest of the dining experiences, we'll just pay for cash. And because that makes you get the most out of your credit, but you're not, we just bought gift cards and paid for everything.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we're doing. We sort of always stock up on gift cards, like throw a $25 gift card in the shopping cart, you know, all the time. Yeah. And mm-hmm. just kind of always, and then they just accumulate and then we have them whenever we go. And so that's how we decided we would pay for food this time. But it also goes back to what we were talking about earlier, under normal circumstances with fast passes and full crowds. Your dining is like part of your scheduled day, and you're blocking out time, and you know exactly when you're going and where you're going and how you have, and not having all that allows you to play it a little looser and make mm-hmm. decisions and not maybe like you think you book it, you know, weeks out, months out, and then, but you don't, but you don't know on that day, maybe you're not quite ready to eat, maybe you're not hungry yet, maybe you want to do something else. But on a normal Disney trip, it doesn't matter if you're ready to eat or hungry or whatever, because all of that's already in place, and that's all fine. I mean, it's still, you know, it's just a different way to do things, but this opens it up for a more spontaneous Disney trip.
It forces you to consider something that is outside of whatever your comfort zone is. And I know, Tony, you and I, we fell in love with Disney at the same time. You went in like, what was it, February or March of 2018? And we mm-hmm. went in July or something like that of 2018. And we both, you and I are very similar in our I don't want to say that, are we cynical people maybe, like in real life?
Yes.
A nice way to put
yes.
it. Okay, Erica, yes. Why don't you just tell us how you really feel? Being a fanboy or a fangirl is not really the way either of us roll, mm-mm. which is really what made Disney so special for us, mm-hmm. because it gave us the opportunity to turn off all that other nonsense that we have to deal with professionally and spend time with our kids and experience this. And I'll tell you what, going now will force you into having an entirely different Disney experience. Like I said, it's incredibly more intimate. We had at least one less dining reservation each day. In some cases, we only had one dining reservation because we're like, oh, we'll just do quick service and pick something up wherever we want at the time that we decide to do it. And then you don't have fast passes. I mean, we just went with the flow and the flow went with us. And
yeah.
I, you know, my husband and I came home actually refreshed from a Disney World vacation, which is not exactly the word I would use.
Right.
You know, yeah. For the other
if a normal Disney, if your normal Disney trip is a 10 out of a 10, how was this one?
It was a 10.
Yeah.
It was a 10.
That's pretty
and
cool.
I don't know that I would say, you know, I miss the fireworks, but I've seen the fireworks and I have it in my mind. I'm going to see them again. So
right. Yeah,
it is a very,
have they done any fireworks at all? There was these rumors that there might be like a random spontaneous fireworks show.
No,
unannounced.
No. Uh-uh. There's no even like, you know, in the morning when they start the park, there's not even like that. There's no stage yeah. shows. You can the walk through show, the castle. Yeah. Yeah, it's there's none of that. And like I said, that leaves a hole in the magic for me. But there were so many things that flowed that.
Yeah.
I said, because my parents had not been since 1991, which was the only other time in my life that I had gone, and I was six or seven. And I kept telling my parents, I'm like, you can't even understand how
yeah.
ridiculous this is.
Yeah,
like, Jared,
you don't
and I,
understand how weird this is.
My husband and I would look at each other like, this is unreal. This is freaking unreal. And amazing.
Well, how many times have you
different?
How many times have you ridden something and you would have just loved to just jump right back on it and do it again?
Oh my gosh.
But,
yeah.
But that's never a thing. Like that's mm-hmm. never something you can do.
Thunder
and
Mountain.
The fact that you could do it right now, you yeah. could ride something and jump right back on it and do it again. Whew.
Christine cool. here on our Facebook page asks, I thought you could only do 3 parks. How do you do 11 days? So, Eric, I want to give you the opportunity to, I snuck in, don't tell anybody. yeah, no kidding. Explain to people the different tiers of access that people have right now to acquiring tickets, because you do need a park reservation. You can only go to one park a day, but you can come and go from the one park that you have a reservation for throughout the entire day. But explain the difference between the different tickets that are out there right now.
So as far as like the park reservations?
Yeah. So if you're a resort guest, if you're an annual pass holder, if you're just you're staying off property, but you buy tickets, like individual day tickets.
So you can have them as part of his package still. We can still, the November trip I was talking about, we still booked as a package with a room and tickets. And then you can also just buy tickets if you're a Florida resident or you're an annual pass holder. So there's the different tickets that you can buy. But the good thing about this new park pass reservation system, I know people were a little freaked out by, I have to have a ticket and a reservation. The thing is that you can see the reservation, what's available before you buy your tickets, no matter what level that you buy them at, whether you're staying at a resort, if you're staying off property, you can see what is available. So I know Hollywood Studio has gotten kind of tight, you know, some weeks, but as you can see, August is totally clear for all park reservations, but you can just take a glance and see there's the Disney Resort guest, the annual pass holders, and then just the theme park ticket guest. And it's the annual pass holders. They have a little more limited just because they have more opportunities, I guess, to go on there. So
they're not happy about it.
I know.
They're really not happy about it. So you can go on to Disney World website and mm-hmm. you can go to where it says Disney Park Reservation System, and you can scroll down to where it says check availability. And if you're a Disney resort guest, I think that this is really important. Or if you are going to stay off property, but you just want to buy tickets here, I'm going to show you, if you folks are watching, you can see on our Facebook page or on the Annie Fry YouTube page, August and then September has 2 days. It's the first Saturday and Sunday, and it is Hollywood Studios, and it's also Labor Day weekend. So that is likely going to be a more high trafficked weekend for resort guests. But then if you go through the rest of October and November, all parks available for Disney mm-hmm. Resort guests.
And Tony, you asked about availability.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
This is planning. Yeah. You're in. And I was also told.
Also, I could answer that question. I could do 11 days at Magic Kingdom. So it doesn't matter if it's 3, 2, 1 park open. How do you do 11 days?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm fine.
Well, and there's so much more even outside.
Oh, God.
Like I said, it's seeds into your soul. This is
where's
the
that at?
Boardwalk. This is the board. And you can see the pool. It's the clown pool. It's called the Luna Pool Boardwalk. But this slide goes around and around and around and around and around. And then you spit out this clown's mouth. It has stars for eyes. Who made that decision? I don't know. And then it's got this like Chef Boyardee SpaghettiOs hair that I don't understand. I mean, mm-hmm. it is a thing that nightmares are made of. This thing was staring at you in a room you stayed in, Erica?
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty terrifying.
And you lived about it.
I did. And that's what somebody else mentioned earlier about how the water parks are closed right now. And, you know, if you can't go to water park, I think there's something to be said about the resort pools that each one they're not just like a swimming pool. It's not just like they do have some relaxation pools that, you know, they have. But each resort has a very themed, almost water park feel pool that's still open right now. So even if you go to
my 9-year old has wanted to leave a park to go back to the pool at the resort before, at Disney World. She's in a park at Disney World and she wants to go back to the resort pool. I mean, that's
and
how
you
great
that.
Some of them are.
You know, mm-hmm. you can go to, you know, morning, start the day in the park and go to the pool and then go back at night. And, you know, there's Disney Springs that you can go shopping and do. So there's plenty to do to fill your days. I like to just go resort hopping because you can have lunch or dinner or have a meal at different resorts, even if you're not staying there. So you can see the property and, you know, look at their gift
Stop
shops
it.
Or their creepy pools.
Stop it.
That's my son coming out there.
I was going to ask
my husband,
you,
he's going to kill me.
Being vomited by a clown.
Oh, man. I see, even just looking at these pictures, like, I can smell the smell of the boardwalk and, like, hear the sound of your shoes on the tile. Yeah, see? There's a...
mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is
what
the meat bar looks like after it's been devoured.
Nice.
In toys.
Nice.
Annie, I was going to ask you, were there any restaurants that you could just walk into without a reservation? Were they allowing walk-ups?
Not table service. I would say table service, they would say you can check and see if you have a reservation. Now, I will say that at least two occasions, maybe three. I know 50s Prime Time we did this. And what was the other one we did? I can't remember off the top of my head. But we had later reservations and we were kind of ready to get it done and get out of there earlier. And we said, can we come in earlier? And 50s told us we came in like an hour earlier and they sat us because they had room for it. Mm-hmm. So they accommodated us there pretty easily. So if you snag a reservation and you aren't sure it's the right time specifically, you might be able to modify it on the spot. Here's a picture mm-hmm. I took. This is at 2:57 PM. In Hollywood Studios, and you can see the little blue dot here. We were at Smuggler's Run, which is where you go fly the Millennium Falcon. It was a 5-minute wait to get onto. I mean, it was literally you get off and then you go, you have to go through the 5 minutes is what it took you to walk through the queue,
right.
Go back up, and then you could do it again.
Wow.
Swirling Saucers was a 10-minute. Tony, this is Toy Story Mania, 10-minute wait.
Yeah.
Like my arm can't recover
that's
that
awesome.
Fast because it hurts so much if you're going to try to kick Toy Story Mania's butt, which I am obnoxiously competitive at.
It's right? So great. It's so great.
Good.
So, and then 25 minutes for Slinky Dog. That's insane. And 40 minutes over here, that's Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which I will tell you is amazing and adorable and worth
that's
every
cool.
minute that you're going to have to wait for it.
That's cool. So, how was the, I know we're about done, but how was the castle? Like, how did you like the way it looks?
I like it. And I know that it's like, Erica, I don't know, what was your final decision on the castle? Do you love it? Do you hate it?
I need to see it in person.
You need to see it in person.
I still, you know how I feel. You know how I feel about change.
If it changes, she hates it. Here's a picture of my husband and me. You can see a little bit of the castle in the background.
Yeah.
It does look different based on the time of the day. The way the sun hits the castle changes the way it looks. And at night, it was stunning. And we, because we were at the restaurant Liberty Tree, here, just a peek behind my pictures, which I didn't mean to show you, but whatever. I got to not put this up here because I had some feet issues.
Oh, yeah.
I blistered like crazy and I don't want to like scar anybody. And I say that.
Was that a Dole Whip float that I saw in there though?
That was a Fanta float.
A Fanta float.
The castle is a point of contention at our house. So that's why I was asking. Ooh, that looks pretty
this is
good.
At the Food and Wine and Flower and Garden Festival. That's all happening at one time from the Italy pavilion kiosk out there. And it was a tortellini with like bacon and I don't know what the fancy Italian names are. Tony Colombo, maybe you can tell me. But the food experience was delicious. This is some cheese pizza that they had out there that we tried. That was amazing. That's the other thing. Like my husband and I have never tried to have the ability to go during Food and Wine because it's during the fall and my husband's a teacher, but we've always wanted to, and they extended it and they started earlier. So you do get to experience more than you would have. Like that's another thing where they added something to the experience that made it a little more magical. This is a comment from my mom. Hi, mom. It was the Italian restaurant in Epcot where we were able to eat earlier. We went to Via Napoli. Thanks, Mom. Thanks for watching, too.
There you go.
Via Napoli, we had pizza there, and it was amazing. I'm going to try to find some more pictures here of the castle because the castle – there's my toes.
You just don't like the fact that they changed it at period, Erica? Is that your issue?
Yeah, I was burned pretty bad when they did the pink cupcake for the 25th anniversary. Because it's like, you know, you have – I've been going since I was a kid, so I have those pictures of me being, you know, 5 years old in front of the castle with my grandparents. And it's like I want the castle to look the same when I go back. This is very pretty. It's very similar. When they wrapped it as a big giant cake, it made me a little angry.
This is fine. This will do. It definitely. Here's the dessert from Liberty Tree. That was amazing. I think that personally, this is probably sacrilegious for me to say, but you know, Tony and I being kind of new to Disney nerdery, and Erica, who's lived it her entire life, I actually think that the old version of the castle was a little underwhelming. Like, see, look, she's never going to do another podcast with me.
I'm just kidding.
No, I respect
her opinion.
You could be in politics. I think that the way it looks now, like if it were the first time you saw it, it looks show-stopping. It really looks it's regal. Like if you see the gold, the way it's trimmed in gold. The only thing that I would say is maybe the pink could be a little more grayish pink. Like maybe it could give you a little more of a suggestion of pink compared to the actual, you know, part of that is definitely pink. But I like it. I think it looks more magical and I think it looks just more like it belongs, like it's not a real castle. I don't know if, like, that's why I think that some people might hear me saying that and be like, Annie, it's supposed to look like a real castle. I think it's, I don't know.
It is a real castle, Annie.
It absolutely is a real castle.
Cinderella's castle. She lives in there.
True. Here's another one. This is a really good one to show you here. This is the back end of it. And this is an unedited photo. This is just straight from my camera roll that I backed up here. So, I mean, I don't know. And when you see it and it moves through the day and the sun hits it a little bit differently, sometimes that blue turns a little bit into purple and I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I think it's kind of magical. So
I can't wait to see it.
In August?
In 3 weeks, whatever, 4 weeks.
I go back. I mean, it is not the same Disney experience that you're used to, but in the ways that you have always wanted it to be even more like, you know, when you're fighting with crowds and it's hot and you're sweaty and you're bumping into people, that's not happening right now. I mean, it's magical. It is unique. It's not the same, but I think in many ways, the part that's not the same is completely compensated. And then some with, you know, I'm showing a picture right now of the Goofy cavalcade. You've got Goofy up there. I think he had the Jose and is it Panchito or the other of the three caballeros? You get to see some of these unique characters. The country bears are out in Frontierland, I guess is where they are. And you get to see them kind of out and about up on the top. And it's just a pretty cool experience. I think if you are looking for somewhere to go, somewhere to get away, and you want to experience Disney World in a way that you would never have experienced it before, this is how you do it.
Man, look at how, like, she's professional. Like, she's a, like, I think she's a better driver than I am just by this.
This was pretty awful. I'm not going to lie. I'm really glad there was a metal partition down the center.
Oh, yeah.
Because I mean, she's got the hand over every inch of that speedway. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And then we went right. And then we went left. And then we went right over and over and over again. But I mean, she had the time.
And did you bring a change of mask? Like, did you find that, like, after going on Splash Mountain, that it got wet or with the humidity or anything? Did you need to change?
I found that I asked my husband this, and my husband has a beard, so I don't know if it was a different experience for him, but he said after I asked him, he's like, you know what? No, I think you're right. I found that my face, because I would put moisturizer that had an SPF 30 in it on my face, and then I would put the mask on, and that was pretty much it, because I didn't want to get my face covered or face mask covered in like makeup or whatever, that my face felt like it kind of got oily underneath it over the course of the day when you're sweating and you have that sunscreen on or whatever. So I would have a towel and kind of wipe off my face. And, you know, if you eat something really garlicky,
try to hide it from people, like, oh,
yeah.
Never take the mask off. Never take the mask off.
If you eat something that's got some potency to it, that mask is not going to last you the rest of the day. You're going to want to brush your teeth. I highly recommend Listerine strips. So you can pop one of those in your mouth, and because when you eat, if you
your
try to eat with your mask on, you chew and then it slowly just starts to go down to here, and then you got to put it back over. And every time you touch your mask, you're kind of defeating the purpose. I highly recommend disposable masks because they're easy to change out. We bought
cooler, right?
I think so. I think so. Yeah. I very highly, highly recommend the disposable ones. And, you know, you get done with it, you throw it away, and you get on a new one. Yeah. And when that, if you've got a real mask, the Disney ones, the sizings are on them are really weird. So adults do not get smaller than a large. If you can get an XL, I would maybe even consider that. My 4-year-old daughter was wearing a medium size, and that's not going to last her very long either. In the mask wearing, it was easy for us to get used to it. And we're from the Midwest, so I know about heat and humidity, which I think is a difference here. For some people who are like, how could you go to Disney in July? They're talking about that regardless of the mask requirement. I'm like, it wasn't this time. We came home, it was 70 degrees. But it can be hotter and more humid in St. Louis than it is in Florida. So I could handle it. Like I said earlier, the only thing that caused it to feel a little unbearable was going from inside to outside or outside to inside. When you change temperatures, like a 20 to 30 degree swing of highly air conditioned to hot and humid, you'd kind of be like, oh, it would kind of catch you. But it took 2 minutes and you were acclimated to it. And it's what you have to do. You just do it.
I'm sure you get used to it pretty quick, just like anything else. You know, it just becomes what you have to do and you get used to it.
Here's one more picture of I put my hand up here so you could see the actual color of the gold that is up. This is the castle. Yeah. And it is gold. It is up in your face gold. And when we first got there, they hadn't finished painting the front of the castle yet. It is a gigantic paint by number. If you haven't seen some of these pictures, it's crazy. But when you look at the actual, when you look at the castle, they have different shades of gray to make it look more dynamic. And they'd have like on the stones, they had like 5, 5, 5, 5 or 4, 2, 2. And that's how they painted the castle, was by numbers, but different colors. It was pretty cool to be able to see it that way. Do you think they're going to keep it that way, Erica? Do you think that this is going to be the new, or do you think that after the 50th anniversary that they might go back and paint it again and restore it to the way it was?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, after the 25th, they really changed the whole look and feel of the castle. And I think that's why they changed it back. This time it was just more of a little Botox, if you will. It was just a little fresher upper. So I think it may stick around. I'm just a curmudgeon when it comes to change about my castle. But I agree. I think that it looks regal. Oh my gosh, Gosh, I want to go right now. Can we go right now?
You see the moon? This is Epcot and the moon. That's a little tiny moon. So, well, Tony, I want to tell you that this is a chance of a lifetime. And it, for somebody who, like, I anticipate hearing about you going back again next year at some point. We, my husband and I have
purchased- We're going in December for sure. We're in, that trip is not,
only,
in any-
Not only next year, this year you will be returning.
Yeah.
You got me.
Yeah, this, yes. We're going in December this year for sure, no matter what happens to this trip in a few weeks. And yeah, we'll be going next year for
the- So I would say that by December, when you go this year, I can't imagine that the shows aren't back together. It, you know, the union will come together unless something crazy happens with this stupid virus and they shut the whole darn thing back down again, which I don't think is going to happen. When I talked to the cast members, I had three separate cast members, specifically one server at 50s primetime, I would add, that he was so amazing. And he was telling us a story and about being, you know, furloughed and how in the time that he was furloughed, he went and got his realtor license. And, he started talking about Disney and when Disney decided to bring him back, how excited he was. And he was talking about how, you know, if anybody is going to do this right, Disney is going to do it. And the amount of precautions that they're taking to make this safe are so far reaching that he was super excited to come back and be a part of the magic once again. And he made, that restaurant for me was made because of, Luke Keeley was the name of the server. He was so fantastic. His first name, it was Anas, A-N-A-S-S. And because my mom said something about, because he was from Morocco and his name was Luke Keeley. And my mom said, how do you pronounce that? He said, Luke Keeley. And he goes, let me tell you a funny story. And he sat down. He's like, my first name is Anas. And he said that he wore that name tag that said A-N-A-S-S for years.
In America.
In his way of telling it, a very rambunctious family from New York came in and just thought that was hilarious and was really, really making a good time out of it. And they're like, we're going to get you a new name tag. We can put Luke Keeley on the end of it or on the front of it. And so, but he was telling us about how grateful he was for Disney, for them to not come back until it was the right time to come back, for waiting the extra month past some of the other attraction sites that are by to make sure that they had everything fully under control and bringing people back to work as quickly as they could responsibly do. And I had at least two other cast members voluntarily tell me how excited they were to be back. And they were actually expressing gratitude that we came, because if we don't come, they don't have a job. They need people to come back and attendance is low. And I talked to several other ones over the course of time. If you find yourself in front of a cast member for, you know, 5-10 minutes, you strike up a conversation. They were all very grateful to be back. And they were all very complimentary of the company and what the company was doing to make it safe. And everything that I experienced as a guest was top-notch Disney quality. And I can't wait to go back. Like, I would legitimately go back next weekend if my boss would let me. And I don't think he will, but I'm gonna ask. So yeah, I can't, I recommend it. And if it's, it is a personal decision. It's like what you said, Erica, you know, Tony, I don't know, you know, the medical history of everybody in your family, but I can assume that if you had somebody in your family that was at a high risk category, that would change the game for you.
Right.
The ability to go and participate in something like that.
Yeah, discussion.
We came back Monday. We are staying to ourselves for at least a week to make sure we're 100% symptom free. If anything comes up, my husband and I would go get tested to make sure that we didn't test positive. So we're being respectful upon our return as well. But, you know, I just got to say, I think this is the chance of a lifetime for a Disney experience unlike any other. And if you feel like it's something that your family would like to do, Erica can set you up and she can set you up pretty good, I think.
She's the best. She is the best.
All right. So, well, let's check in with you, Tony, again in another week or so and see.
Sounds good.
Let me ask you this. Should we have your wife on here?
Ooh.
Oh, I'll see if she'll come on.
That would be so fun. We can mediate for you.
Yeah.
I will be the cheerleader and Erica will bring
She'll be the interviewer. She will be asking lots of questions.
And is your littlest three now?
Yeah, we'll keep him off camera for now. Just because that might be tough to keep him in one spot.
It's the best kind.
We'll talk about dinosaurs and he'll be sitting there for hours. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You should sit down with him and That's ask true. Him the questions he has, and we'll make sure we field some of them for yeah. him so we can talk yeah. to the boss.
His all only right. question is, when do we leave? When can we yeah. go?
And that's
my question.
Yeah,
exactly. Tony Colombo, thank you so much for joining us. Erica, as always, thank you for everything that you planned my parents' trip and you helped them throughout the course of the entire process. And you've been great, as always. And I highly encourage anybody, if you are even thinking about taking a trip in the next probably 18 months or so, you can start the conversation with Erica right now. You can email her at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at magicexpeditions.com with any questions you have. She has planned trips for me. She has planned trips for Tony Colombo. She's planned trips for my family, many members of my family and my friends. And she comes super highly recommended by all of us.
If you don't use Erica, you're stupid.
There you go. That's the best endorsement you can. You should probably
it is on
pay
my business
pay
card.
Yeah. That's like, if you can't find us, you're too stupid to be here, which is.
Oh, yeah.
It is what it is. Like the Facebook page, the Pixie Dust Podcast on Facebook. Go like us there. You can also message the Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page. Erica will get those messages as well. You can ask any questions, no obligation, no cost to talk to her. And when you book a vacation with Erica, it doesn't cost you anything additional. Mm-hmm. But if you just booked it all yourself, did all the legwork yourself, you can actually, in my opinion, save money when you go with Erica because she hooks you up with the deals when they come out. So thanks
you
for listening
certainly
today.
Save time. Oh my gosh.
Yes. And the information that she is privy mm-hmm. to before it hits, hits the mainstream conversation. It's a no brainer. If you ask me, mm-hmm. thank you for listening. Yeah. Erica, mm-hmm. thank you so much. Please contact her if you have any questions and we will talk to you again real soon. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.